verse number 1. Can I call us today, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Acts 22, verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Now, this is Apostle Paul. He's about to tell a testimony here. Amen. You know, I love hearing about Paul's testimony. Amen. It's good stuff. Amen. I wasn't there when he got saved, but I saw the same light he saw. I didn't get knocked off a horse, but I got knocked off my high horse. Amen. Praise God. Woo! That's enough already. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2 it says, when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, there's a message right there, man. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of that which thou hast seen and heard. Oh, my Lord, help me somehow, please, Father, to do justice to the words that I've just read by preaching. In Jesus' name I ask this all. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. As with every passage in the Word of God, what a marvelous passage this is. I was thinking as I was reading this about the Apostle Paul, and he was giving his testimony how he persecuted people unto death that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. But when he got saved, he did not start persecuting those other people. He began to live a life of grace and began to try to reach everybody. You would think the way we commonly think in the world, he changed sides, so he persecuted those that were for Christ, and you would think that he changed sides, he would now persecute those that were against Christ. But no, he was just trying to reach in the BU to see that everybody was saved. And like in reading further in verse 9, it says, And they that were with me indeed saw the light, and they were afraid, but they heard the voice of him that spake. And Paul, as any person really should ask, when you come in conversation with the Lord, he said, What shall I do, Lord? And he gets his answers, and he meets one Ananias. And in verse 11, he says, And when I could not see for the glory of that light. When we really see the glory of that light, we find out that all of us, we don't need to be as independent as we think we are sometimes. We'll find we need somebody. We'll need each other. We'll need some help. Because when he couldn't see the glory of the light, God put somebody in his path to direct him. As you've heard me say often, I was thinking about when I got saved, and God put Frank Rhodes in my life. And I saw the glory of Christ, and I saw what Christ could do, and I said, there's somebody that can help me. And I saw Poncho Krebs, and I saw other people that God allowed me to talk with on different occasions that tried to help me to get closer to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But reading further and going down to the text here, it said, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. You know, I was thinking of all the distinctions we can have in this world. The greatest is we call brother or sister, because we call brother or sister, we have to be, at least speak from, as since the Bible said we are sons of God, to be a brother, you have to be a son. Amen. And thank God for the glorious distinction to be able to call somebody brother, and because of being saved by the grace of God, or sister in Christ. So the greatest distinction, greatest blessing. But he said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And now he's going to start to give Saul direction for his life. And I believe the direction that Saul has here is the same as what we would have, and see some encouraging things here as we look at what God has for us today. And he says, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. First thing he chose us for, as we see in the text, he said that thou shouldest know his will. Number one, God's chosen you to know his will. I want you to stop and think for a moment. Do you know God's will for your life? That's what he chose you for. You know, because without Christ, we walk in darkness. And when we get saved, we come to the light. And so the light of God is to direct us. So God's chosen you. Anybody ever get a job that they wanted to have? Did you feel good to be chosen? Amen. Because you said, wow, it gave you some purpose, gave you some vision, opened some opportunities, thought there would be cash coming in, right? Amen. You know, all these things. And because you were chosen, it gave you some degree of what to do next with your life. Well, God chose you. And if you like the person, if you interview well, or you just like the company, you felt honor, you felt some degree of prestige by virtue of the fact you were chosen. And once you were chosen, you began to listen to who hired you because, wow, they chose me. And you wanted to find out, what do I do next? Well, the God of our fathers, and by the way, this just isn't any old God. Amen. He's the one I stepped by. I mean, Morgan, we're going out to the van this morning, check a few things, and I said, take that light. I said, and God said, let there be light. Amen. That sun out there is so beautiful. God spoke that. Amen. I was talking to him. And thank God for that. That same God has chosen you. The same God that made resources and possessions that the world fights over, he chose you. The same God that owns the cattle of a thousand hills, he chose you. The same God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever has chosen you. But he chose you for a reason. To know his will. You know, and there's joy in that. Just like if you think of any situation like you were chosen for something. It was positive. Amen. Just a couple times people chose me to pick on me. But that's okay. It made me stronger. Amen. I told you my nickname before, Ugmo. Ugmo, Tattletale, Crybaby, Booger Dirt, Thing. I was chosen by that designation. Amen. What a glorious name to start your life out with. Amen. But thank God, you know, I realized later, you know, I was chosen that way. I was actually chosen that way. Because God loved me. To show me there was something far beyond what man could think of me and what man could put on me. And even if you think about even the successful earthly achievements, God chose me something beyond those earthly achievements. Because people live their life for earthly achievements and earthly success, and many of them are miserable, and many of them because they don't have the joy of knowing the will of God for their life, knowing what they were created for, what they were made for. God chose you to know His will. Hold your place here. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 just for a few moments. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9, we see Paul talking about servants here and how he's really praying for them. Notice one of his greatest concerns here. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He said, since we heard of you, this is what we've been praying for, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. You know, that's what I pray for you so often. You know, I remember hearing an expression, I can't remember if it was in a movie or something, but I think it was on some television show or people, maybe it's in a tragic situation, there was an outcry, don't just stand there, do something. And I don't know where that came from, what that was about, or what that happened with, you know, but that's not the right way to live your life. You need to know God's will, because many people just do something because they don't know His will. You ought to stand there until you know His will, and then do what His will says. Then you have the greatest purpose that your life will ever have, the greatest meaning, the greatest value. Why? How will you know? Well, because the one that saved you is His will. I mean, the one that saved you, that pulled you out of the fire, that rescued you from death, and says, now you're no longer dead in trespasses and sin. Here, I've got something for you to do. Not enough Christians ever ask the question, God, what did you save me for? Think about, you know, that makes sense, you know. I mean, you know, sometimes we're cleaning the house and we're trying to get rid of stuff that's just been hanging around a long time, you know. Trying to declutter, you know. And occasionally, invariably, somebody or throw something away that somebody else wants, right? And before it gets taken to the garbage, somebody says, hey, I want that. You know, now it may have been lying around the house doing nothing for 8 or 9 months. But when we see that it's going to the garbage, one of us says, that's mine, I want that. And the cry comes out, what for? And if you rescue that thing, you think, man, I've got a purpose for that. If that thing could talk, it could say, no, what did you save me for? You know, and when you don't know His will, you might not ask that question, but you ask, why did you save me? And you'll just kind of float around. But God, and you'll miss out on the greatest blessing of all, the fact that God chose you, that He rescued you from death, destruction, discouragement, disappointment. Somebody said, well, I serve God now, I got all those things. But do you know His will? His will is to be like His Son. And to be committed into a loving relationship with Him. He saved you to love Him because He first loved you. And love, charity, covers a multitude of sins. He says here, Paul, he said, I'm praying. He says, for this cause, this is pretty important because he says, since the day we heard it, he said, we do not cease to pray for you. And to desire, our desire for you is that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Because the most powerful thing you'll ever do will be the will of God. Because that's the only thing in life you have guaranteed to have His help to do. God will allow us some liberty. We have liberty. It says only use not that liberty occasion to the flesh. So that means we actually can. That, according to the Bible, we actually can use our liberty for our flesh. He says, don't do that, but we can. We can do it. And so many things that we try to accomplish, that's why when you try to do something that works out, that doesn't always mean it's the will of God. But He says, don't use that liberty occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And when you know His will and you commit to His will, think, man, what a great choice God made. Amen. We read many things in Psalm 119 about how God was right. Every one of His righteous judgments endure forever. God's will is the best will we could ever have. And it's the right thing. When you see God's will, you know God's will, you pursue God's will. And what a joy it is whenever you just submit to the will of God. 1 Thessalonians, continue going to your right a little bit more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. You understand what fornication is, any perversion, unlawful sexual pleasure or desire, whether physical or mental. He said abstain from that. But then he talks about concupiscence here, which is a word that means the coveting of carnal things or an irregular appetite for worldly good. You ought to study that one. I meditate that one. God says your will of God is that you abstain from that. The coveting of carnal things or regular appetite for worldly good. That's what I've mentioned often, of how many times people want to add God into their life to enhance their earthly experience, instead of realizing that you come to Christ to be rescued from damnation and destruction. And once He rescues you, He gave you life. You think, well, to know His will. To know His will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. Will of God, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's not the will for everybody else to give thanks. It's the will for you to give thanks. If it's the will for you to give thanks in everything, that means it's the will for me. God's will for me to give thanks in everything. Well, he said, but Pastor, you don't know my situation. Well, God knew it. He didn't put an exception clause there, did he? He said, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God chose you for that. He said, well, thank you, Lord. How can you give thanks in every situation? Well, if it's terrible, if you're saved, it's not going to last forever. So I was thinking of how many things you'd be thankful for this morning. I've heard people fall from buildings and breaking, you know, almost every bone in their body, you know. And I thought, man, that's a lot of bones. I got a lot of bones. Some of them ache sometimes, but most of them aren't broken by the grace of God. I got a few that are wearing out, what the doctor said, but that's different than being broken. So thank God for all these bones that aren't broken. Even then, you start counting that. How many ways can you thank God? That eyesight she talked about, that hand that moved, that head that nodded. Case may be, whatever your life is, just praise God for everything, amen. He's good. Your brothers, your sisters, your enemies, because you have so many enemies, that means you have a heart that can feel. They can feel pain, they can feel suffering. I remember when I first came here to Toronto, somebody referred to different parts of the city as the land of the walking dead. It's people that were so strung out on drugs and crack that they just almost were like zombies, you know. I've dealt with some here after being here for some period of time, and praise God, you can feel. I mean, isn't that a blessing? Praise God, you got feelings that can be hurt if somebody's hurt your feelings. Now, let's not try to hurt anybody's feelings, but praise God that you have feelings that can be hurt. That means you can show love to somebody else. Try to build up somebody else whose feelings are hurt. Try to strengthen and encourage somebody else's life. That's the will of God. To everything give thanks. Back in our text here, I won't spend a lot of time here. Well, I probably should, because I'll just get happy and probably run around in circles. The second thing that He chose you is, and the God of our Father hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know His will, and to see that just one. Amen. There's none like Him. That just one is Jesus Christ. Amen. To see that just one. That's what God chose you for. To see Him. And just to to know He's the one. That's why we read the Scripture. That's why we kept reading and reading. And if your spiritual senses were open, you would think, man, God is right. The Word, God's words are pure. God's judgments are pure. God is holy. Verse after verse after verse, you heard of how perfect God is, how right God is, how holy God is. Verse after verse after verse, how we can trust His Word, His statutes, His laws. Everything. That's the one. And if you were listening and you were seeing it, wow, that's my Savior. You're thinking, oh, whoa, you think, man. And like that verse already, you can understand how He rejoiced that word as one that finds great spoil, because you, that God chose you to see Him, and the Word of God is how we see Him. And the more you read, the more you see a revelation of the perfect God, if you trust Him, mind you. This is why salvation is so absolutely essential, because if you've given your life to Christ based on the Word of God, then you trust what God said about salvation, if we're to be born again. And then you read and you think, wow, this is the one that saved me, you know. Anybody ever get an anonymous gift? You get one and you wonder what, I wonder what that person was like that did that. I've got a few. I've given out more than I've had. I like giving. You know, I was studying the other night. I guess it was Saturday night. I think it was, sitting at Tim Hortons and reading my Bible and had my normal Saturday night Baptist fit. Amen. Saw a guy come in, just low down, and he sat in the corner over there, and he was just young kid, looked like probably 7 or 18, just sleeping, you know, just. And so while he's sleeping, I bought a Tim Hortons gift card, and I wrote in, and I said, God, I wrote on the front, I said, God loves you, and I wrote in the middle, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And I made wait until he was good, sound asleep, and I stuck it under his sleeve there, and I left. Amen. Because I didn't want him to wake up. Don't wake anybody you don't know they're sleeping, right? Amen. But you know, I waited for a while to see if he'd wake up. I just wanted to curious what his reaction was, but it was getting late. Actually, it was getting morning. So I said, I'm just going home. But I thought, man, it's a blessing, you know. And I was thinking to myself as I was driving home, I was thinking about the different things that God put in my life to show me the reality of Himself. As you've heard me say often, those two girls that gave me the gospel tract in the subway. Whoever it was when we were living in Lumberton, North Carolina, and desperate for answers and feeling hopeless, and probably put that flyer on the apartment door. And different times in my life where I saw gospel tracts different places and picked them up and read them. And other things that happened, different people that were Christians that God put there to let me show that His way was the way. And people would talk to me about this unknown God that I used to praise in church. They would talk to me about this God of the Bible that said, let there be light, and there was light. They would talk about this God of salvation, and then one day, on January 20th, 1993, I got to see Him. Woo! I got to see Him. And got saved by the grace of God. That's what He chose me for. That's what He created us all for. That we might see Him. To see that just one. And you know what will make your life, if you keep your vision on just one? Everybody in this room has a great opportunity to live life based on keeping their eyes on that on just one, which is the just one. Because when you do that, you know what? It does a lot of things for you. Keeps you from being bitter toward other people. Keeps you from judging other people. Keeps you from lifting yourself up above other people. Keeps you humble. Because you keep saying, man, I'm not like him. But you start looking around, well, you start saying, hey, I'm not like them. But you say, Lord, I'm not like him. That's who I want to be like. I want to be like him. But He chose us. He chose you. He chose me to see that just one. I like here in verse number 15 of Acts 22 where we're at. And this is, it says, for thou shalt be His witness. If you underline or mark in the Bible, you ought to circle that, His. You're not the church's witness, you're His witness. You belong to Him. Unto all men, notice what they're supposed to witness of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, I wrote down verse 15. Now, I want you to catch this before we leave today. This is what is missing from today's Christianity. Where are the witnesses that have seen what God has done? Where are the witnesses of the resurrection and His power? See, we're witnesses of mostly in today's Christianity about what we know about God. And so being witness of what God has done. And the reason that is because, getting back to point one, we don't know His will. Or we chose to walk away from His will. It's amazing how strange things happen when you just heard the Lord. I was telling my wife the other day, I was in McDonald's meeting Pastor Bianchi for breakfast a couple of days ago. I saw this guy sitting in the back corner, and I was sitting there reading my Bible, and I saw him when I walked in, sitting in the corner, and I walked in the other way, well, just by the way the door was, and I sat down somewhere else, and I ended up meeting him in the washroom later. And he stops and looks at me, and he said, "I know you're here to protect me from the devil." He said, "I know you're here to protect me from the devil." He said, "I recognize good minister." I thought, "Well, praise God." I said, "I'm saved by the grace of God," and told him a little about my testimony, gave him a gospel tract, and left. But it's amazing how things are, you know, even Satan knows what God's will is for you. You know that? I think many times he does. He didn't know everything. That's why he helps you so much to be away from what God's will is. Or he helps a cloud or to cause you to doubt what God's will is. See, if we ever get away from the fact that the will of God works out in our best interests on this side, we'll be a lot more faithful believers in Christ. There's some positive things that happen on this side by being faithful in Christ, but not always. In fact, I was reading the book of Acts. Where was it? And Paul, or you, if you're still in Acts, I think it's Acts, where is it at? Well, we're almost to the book of Acts, and I was thinking about this, how in the book of Acts, like toward the end, we're testing about Paul. It's Paul's testimony mostly, and he's really getting toward the end of his earthly ministry, what we would say the pinnacle of his earthly ministry. And I was marveling because I thought how much this is like the Lord Jesus Christ in the way he's about to die. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, I just didn't read far enough. Great chapter, man. 22. Just read further, and I said, now he's giving this whole discourse, his testimony. I knew I read it recently, and he's finishing up here. And notice verse 22. Notice the response to him, everything he's saying. And they gave him audience unto the word, this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. For it is not fit that he should live." See, many times really we have the mistaken idea that the pinnacle of what we do is going to be when, man, everybody just thinks we're good. Here's Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. He's healed people, helped people, did a lot of miraculous things. And they're looking at him after he gave his testimony of what Jesus Christ has done. He's testified what God chose him for. And they said, "It's not fit. We'd like you not even to be on the earth." That's pretty strong, isn't it? They didn't say, get out of our sight. Like I was telling the family here, like we back at home, said, "I ain't studying you." They didn't say that. They said, "It's not fit that you should live." Away with such a fellow from the earth. That's pretty strong for somebody that's given his life, devoted to Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Spirit of God, and to walk in the will of God. That's the response of the world for him. But he didn't mind because he knew God's will for his life. and he knew the will that God chose for him was the will that he wanted. And because he had seen that just one, he was all right. Amen. Turn to 2 Peter. Do we have any witnesses here of what God has done? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be back to Acts in just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. Helps if you turn to 2 Peter yourself rather than 1 Peter. I was wondering why it wasn't making sense. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant, and... Oh, he's a servant. That's a good... He's a servant too. Amen. My brother Peter, servant. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. Is your faith precious today? It should be, man. Like precious faith. With us... through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Hey, something happens when you know that just one. Grace and peace are multiplied. You want more grace, want more peace in your life? It said it's multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him. So when we see Him, the more we understand His divine power, the more we understand how much that He's really given us all things to pertain unto life and to godliness. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the Word of God he read about, exceeding great and precious promises. That was not just a discourse of a religion, but that was the exceeding great and precious promises about our Savior. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what's wrong with the world? It's lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. This is what my pastor taught me in my first Bible class lesson, Hardy's, that he wrote on a napkin for me. Right here. And the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that surely I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Notice verse 16. This is a good verse on the line. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Because that's what they were chose for. They were chose to be an eyewitness of His majesty. One person goes out and sees, man, Mother Nature made a great day today. Another person goes out and says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I cannot believe that my Savior, in a moment of time, just spoke in that beautiful sun. Just wham, it was there. My God did that. You ever go up to somebody today and when they say the beautiful day, you know, you say, man, the sun is bright. They say, yes, my Savior did that. The one that He brought me out of a horrible pit. The one that took me from darkness to light. He did that, amen. So it's all kinds of way to praise God around people. Because what are we supposed to be? Eyewitnesses of His majesty.
When I was a kid, I loved the sunrise. And I loved the sunset. Because both of them have light, amen. I can remember being in Texas, going out early in the morning, jogging about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes coming over this hill. Many times I'd be running up and down the side of a bridge for training, and I remember different times running up and getting to the top of that bridge and seeing God's light there. And I thought, man, what a glorious thing it is to see the light of God. I love seeing that sunlight and all those wonderful things. And then, sometimes on deputation, driving to places after preaching late at night, and wife and kids sleeping, resting after a long day of travel, and just trying to stay awake to get to the next spot, and just seeing God's sunset drop down off the horizon. Driving into it, and my Savior did that. My Savior made that. I remember even the kid, we had tornadoes in Texas, and I loved the wind. And I remember times before the storm would come and tornadoes, I'd be out running in the yard like this, just enjoying the wind and the rain. And so my mama said, "Boy, get back in this house! Don't you know a storm's coming?" But until then, I just enjoy the wind. My Savior made that. The Bible said He walks on the wings of the wind. I don't know what that looks like, but it sounds good to me. Woo! And then when I come in the house, I'd sit by the window and just that breeze, because it was so hot in Texas that it would be a cool breeze coming before that major storm would hit, you know, and sitting by the window. Then, of course, mom said, "Get away from the window." But my Savior did that. She wanted me to stay alive. I had a good mother. Praise God for her. And I remember when I was in the military, first time we had a break for a couple days, me and about 8 guys, we rented a pontoon boat. And we went out on that boat. I remember thinking how beautiful that water was. My Savior made that. I remember trout fishing with my pastor and buying a set of waders and going out wading in the water, and water so crystal clear you could even see the fish not bite your hook. You could watch him just nose up to your bait and just walk away, you know. He said, "You ain't fooling me." And I remember seeing those brilliantly colored fish, and sometimes we'd go out about 10 o'clock at night and fish till 7 o'clock in the morning. And the moonlight would shine down on the water, and you could still see to the bottom the fish were at. My Savior did that. My Savior made the fish. My Savior made the moon. My Savior made the stars. And I remember Him taking me from darkness to light. I remember praying for miracles, and God supplying miracles. Whether it be jobs, money, resources for other people, sometimes health, and eyewitnesses of His majesty. I remember preaching in different places and knowing that there's nothing in you that can make a difference in anybody's life, and seeing the Word of God transform somebody's life. Eyewitnesses of His majesty. God's chosen you to see that just one. May God free us from religion. Allow us to see the just one. That's what He chose you for. Because then if you go here witness of Him, it makes a big difference. Tell Him what He did in your heart. Tell Him how every dark day is a great day because of the Savior. Every problem. Paul said, "I take pleasure in successes, in distresses, in necessity." Why? Because he saw the just one. He was an eyewitness of His majesty, that His light outshine the darkest day he could ever walk through. There have been times I've early in the morning wept and cried till I had no more power left to weep, and then get up praising God because I saw the just one. Last thing in Acts 22, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, number one, to know his will. I'll ask you again, do you know God's will for your life? If you do, you ought to praise him for it. Number two, if you know God's will, are you walking in God's will? Have you embraced it joyfully? Have you cheerfully submitted to the will of God? If you're a Christian, what service for the Lord are you cheerfully, willingly offering up to him? If you're a child of God, what service for the Lord are you cheerfully, willingly offering up to God himself? This ain't about the church. I said him. Think about that. If you know his will, it makes life easier. Last thing, and this goes, God just knows everything he's doing. And we already read it, but he says, and that thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. I should have had him start over so we can call all 176 verses of the voice of his mouth. But he chose you for that. We're back in there praying. He's praying, asking God. He didn't even know exactly what he wanted to read today, but he's praying, and we're back there praying before church, and he asked God to confirm what he wanted to read. And he didn't know the message, and it's neat when my son picks songs, and he don't know, I don't get to give him before service, and even sometimes after the preaching, God will put some on the girl's heart playing. It's so amazing when all these things come together, what God is doing. We're eyewitnesses, whether you realize it or not, of his majesty. Man, I've been to different churches. You sing three songs and da-da-da. You get three songs. It's three songs, offering, announcements, invitation every single time. That's pretty close, right? We used to travel in a lot of churches like that. And what's the other thing? Message is 3 points, illustration, the poem, you know. He says that thou shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. When's the last time you heard from the voice of God? And I hope today you didn't hear Brother Mark read a lot of verses. I hope you heard the voice of his mouth. That changes everything. Your perspective. I hope you're not hearing me get excited and look ridiculous and because it's foolish in the preaching. I hope you hear the voice of his mouth. He said, the God of our fathers, not just anybody, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Back to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, again. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father. Actually, well, we read verse 16, but we should read it again. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, when I had our gospel tracts, I'm not just trying to get people to switch over to the Baptist faith. I was an eyewitness of what happened to me January 20th, 1993. And I've been an eyewitness of many times through the years. Have I been a perfect Christian? No. Have I failed a lot? Yes. But there's so many times I know God has changed this, changed that. I witnessed it. Wow, I would want to do this, but God changed my heart in this area. God allowed this miracle, that miracle. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard
when we were with him in the holy mount. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there, and they saw Jesus standing with Moses and Elias. And Peter said, "Lord, let us build three tabernacles." He said, "It's good for us to be here." And this, his voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." And said, "Hear ye him." Peter, you chose to build something for me. You chose to hear me. Because in fact, he said, "Upon my rock, I will build my church." If we hear him, God will build his church. When's the last time you heard his voice? And he says, verse 19, now that sounds pretty good to me. I wouldn't have minded being there. It would have been pretty amazing to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here the Holy Ghost said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." That had been pretty exciting, but notice what the Word of God said here. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost."
The only thing you need to have a Holy Ghost meeting?
The Word of God. And somebody to listen to it. That's all you need. If you're going to trust the Word of God, you can go home today, get your own words of your Bible, and you can have a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. Because the Word you have came not in foretime, but didn't come by any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost said, "Write that." They obeyed. Amen. We got it all, man. Last time we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll be done, Lord willing. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank God for your choice. Father, I thank you for choosing. Thank you for choosing me in spite of who I am. And not because of who I am, but because of who you are. What a God you are. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice the Bible says, God's holy word in verse 15. "Wherefore," Ephesians 1 verse 15, "wherefore I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." God fills all and in all. He said, since the time I heard of your faith, I started praying of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Start with that verse. God had opened our understanding. You read that also, right? You may know. You may know
Do you know God's will? Do you know God's will? Have you thanked Him for His will, or are you rejecting His will? That you may know what is the hope of His calling. Believe it or not, your calling is the reason of hope. Many think the calling is hopeless. Many look in the way the world reacts to religion, they think that the calling is hopeless. And my calling is to be faithful unto my Father like my Savior was. No matter how it pans out for me here. And the hope that I have is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Be thou ruler over many. And with that hope, you know, think about what happened to Jesus after He left the earth. I wonder what happened to the servants of God that are faithful here after they leave the earth. Assuming that Jesus didn't come in the clouds and while we're here, who knows what witness you'll have? There's things that, you know, because of multimedia and, you know, Christians are faithful, man, they really can't affect the world, you know. Multimedia and because of social media, if people transform something, or not transform, but transmit Christ, I mean, think of the potential you could actually have if that stuff is used for good. I mean, you could meet the Lord and you could see, you know, back over in Zimbabwe. Somebody saw your Instagram photo. Had somebody Jesus Christ on it. I don't know how far that stuff goes. I was looking at the website and there was a hit on the website in Bangladesh. And I thought, glory to God. never know what happened, you know. So last week there were hits in Bangladesh, Poland, India. So I could somewhere else here in the United States, different parts of Canada. And I thought, man, never know what God's doing. Amen. And you know what? There are two people get part in that. Maybe, hopefully they listened to the message and they drew them to God. But the people that prayed for the ministry. The people that prayed for the messages. Guys, you remember that morning you got up and you started praying and you just prayed. And the devil tried to put on your mind, you know, who else is praying for church, you know. You know, things put in your mind, who else is doing this? And you just went ahead and you prayed anyway. And that was the day that somebody got on the website because you prayed that God, someone would be touched by the ministry of First International Baptist Church. And that day on the other side of the world, somebody gave their life to Jesus because she got up and prayed and asked God to use the church where He said He would be glorified in. That gospel tract that you walked by, you passed out, you saw it on the ground somewhere, somebody throwing it down. But after you left, somebody picked that thing up, they stuck it in their purse. And they stuck it in their purse and they didn't even read the thing. They forgot about it, left it in their purse. And one day they took it and they got tired of looking at the purse. They took the purse down to the Goodwill. One of these clothing ministries. They dropped it off in clothing ministries. And people gathered by the clothing items and purses and stuff. And some on the other side of the world, they needed some clothing and some purses and things like that and items. And they shipped it to the other side of the world. Somebody opened that purse on the other side of the world. There was a gospel tract in there. And you left home discouraged that day because you saw the one you put passing the ground. Somebody had stepped on it. I want you to show what I did through your acts of faithfulness. He says of our Savior, they mocked you. They put a crown of thorns on your head. They spit upon you. They put a purple robe upon you. And said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Knowing they had absolutely no respect for you whatsoever. Nails in your feet. Well, feet are there. Nails in your hands and in your feet. Try to give you vinegar, vixen's gall. Try to get you to drink something impure. And you wouldn't even take it. They saw all your miracles. So they said, all the people that you healed. In fact, in one testimony it says, you healed them all. And they saw that.
And when they saw you coming in the streets, they said, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! But when threat of persecution came, when they realized you were no longer popular by the majority, they all forsook you and fled. To the point where one of your closest followers, with an oath, even cursed because he was so afraid of being associated with you. Jesus, look what's happening through you now. Men, women, boys, and girls saved all over the world. And if there weren't men, women, boys, and girls saved all over the world, there's some crazy guy in Texas that was saved in 1993 that's still happy for what you did for him. Amen. Hanging out in the basement with a bunch of people that just love Jesus. Amen. The Father would say, my son, thank you for being in the earth what you were chosen for. And the Apostle Paul, as we read about, he ended his life and dying later and hired house something, different work, say different things, but he died in prison, house arrest. At the highest peak of his earthly ministry, they said, away with such a fellow from the earth. This is not fit that he should live. People that he loved more than he loved himself. He knew that the God of our fathers has simply chosen him to know his will. Now, he knew what his will was. And he'd seen the just one. And that kept him in the Father's will. See, many know God's will, but they don't see enough of the just one, and so they have trouble staying in the Father's will. And he knew he was chosen to hear the voice of his mouth. That's why we search the Scriptures. That's why we read the Scriptures. That's why we preach the Scriptures. Because that's what we were all chosen for. Father, I think you made a good choice. Lord, we thank you today for being so marvelously good. And Father, I say you made a good choice, not because I'm worthy of anything, but you haven't made a mistake yet. So, Father, thank you for your choice. Thank you for your will for my life. Thank you for the times you've allowed me to see you. And thank you for the times you allowed me to hear your voice. I just pray by the time I meet you, the knowledge of your will become deeper. The times I see you will become more often. And the times I hear your voice will be more often as well. And Lord, I pray the same for every single hearer in this room.